going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kill them. Take them. Take their lunch money. Because they ain't on salami. Ain't worth nothing, bro. They really can't block me.
We're back with more draft night coverage on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Here's Rami Makhlouf.
That's Shamar Turner. I really like that guy, man. I really like that guy. Well, he went over the line a few times in his college career with that mentality, but if you can harness it, if you can harness that and rein it in, that's the type of mentality you really like on a football team, and especially down there in the trenches and on the defensive line. We'll hear from Chris Emma is going to be joining us from Hallis Hall coming up. Also, Luther Burden, the wide receiver from Missouri, coming up a little bit later, and the moment he was drafted. Very cool moment between him and Antoine Randall, the Bears' new wide receivers coach. But let's go out to Hallis Hall right now and hear from Bears general manager Ryan Poles speaking as day two, rounds two and three of the NFL draft conclude. Here's Bears GM Ryan Poles.
Open it up with Burden in the second, a player that, you know, obviously there's a lot of value there. He was at the top of our board. Really did a good job following the board and kind of letting it talk to us. It was clear he was the most talented player on the board, and we think he's an electric player, playmaker, highly competitive, and the run after the catch is special, probably best in this class. So when you add that to the group that we have, things get pretty exciting. Then we had the opportunity to trade back from 41. We had a number of players that we were interested on our board, kind of looked at the needs that were underneath at the teams that were below us, and thought there was a good chance that we could add some bigs in that group. Ended up falling exactly that way, and we're able to get Ozzy in the boat. It's a good conversation with a guy that went to the same school as I did. His dad actually was on the same team as my dad at Boston College as well, which I thought was pretty cool, kind of full circle. Kind of deal. So Ozzy's dependable, disciplined, technician, very, very intelligent. He's tough, strong. We look at lean mass for the bigs. He's a real dense player that can get movement at the point of attack, anchor well. Tall player that needs to continue to bend, but he's going to do a really good job. He's just a very reliable player for us. And then finish up at 62, which was part of that deal, flopping from 72 to 62 with Shamar Turner, a defensive lineman that we've had our eye on for a while, plays our brand of ball, something that DA and JG and Bill Johnson talk about is playing with violence, and that's exactly the way he plays the game, high motor, passionate about ball. We will feel him on the practice field as well in games, and that's going to really – all of these guys are going to raise the level of competition in our building, which is a beautiful thing. So I'll open up to questions.
Ryan, with the first two players you picked, Loveland and Burden, mm-hmm. they both seem like guys that fit really well with things Ben has talked about, and obviously that's your goal is to give him the guys he needs. Can you give some insight as to how Ben influenced picking those specific players?
Yeah. They fit really well in Ben's offense. These guys fit well in every offense. They're dynamic players. But yeah, just going through, Ben and I spent a lot of time watching these players. Our scouts did a great job identifying them. And then we kind of talked about how they fit and what we're trying to do if the opportunity popped up for us to select them. And again, when you talk about run after the catch, you talk about separation, when you talk about creating explosives, all of those things are really positive for us to be a more potent offense and way more productive than we've been in the past. And also with a young quarterback, guys that you can get the ball too quick and they make plays after for you is a really good place to be, especially as a young quarterback.
You took a tackle in the third round last year, you take one in the second round, and you still have your two starters. How do you view Ozzie and where he fits in Karan as well? And
yeah,
is it possible that they're both backups at the start of the season?
Yeah, I'm not sure how it's going to play out. I know it's going to be a very competitive training camp and offseason. And I know that at the end of the day, whatever best five come out of that are going to be the guys that are going to start for us. But as you know, trust me, as we know around here for the last 3 years, we've been going through a lot of different rotations and a lot of different people. So to have guys that are going to be reliable and dependable as things happen throughout the season is a good place. We want that depth. I think now those guys have really good role models and vets ahead of them to learn how to play this game at a high level.
Ryan, with Shamar, when you see some of the penalties he had,
yeah,
but you also square that with like that he plays with the style you want. How did you kind of learn that he can kind of harness that for what you want to do and be disciplined in what you guys are trying to do?
Yeah, that's part of it's just being more disciplined and playing selfless to know like when you do those things, you're hurting the entire team. We'll continue to educate him when he's in the building on that part. I think it's one of those things you want that edge in your defensive linemen, in your defensive players, and really all of the players. And I feel like if you can pull that back a little bit, that's a lot easier than having to push guys. I also think that is contagious. Like that group's going to be a real, especially with Grady and these guys, it's going to be contagious amongst the group. And I think we're probably going to have some real tough training camp days with some fights. So I think that's good, though. It just raises the level of intensity for our entire football team.
With, I know, is there some sort of blueprint you can follow just with, like, I know Dexter came from a two-gap system in Florida, and then same with Shamar at Texas A&M. Like, is there a blueprint just in terms of the pass rush stuff that you want them to, you want him to, like, take on early on that you saw with Dexter that can apply to a young
player? Yeah, that's a great question because we sat down and we were kind of split with that because it's very hard. When you watch two-gap guys, it's very difficult to see the projection, usually a squared stance. Almost catching sometimes rather than getting off and penetrating. But there are certain down and distances where they'll do that. And sometimes you got to go back a few years to kind of see the clips. And a lot of it has to do with traits, like just overall explosiveness, length, power, motor, those types of things. You can piece it together. And we've actually, there's a couple examples of guys over the last few years that came from similar systems that we actually went back and watched the tape, and it was eerily similar. That once they got in a different system, you could see them flourish and actually play to a whole different level. And that was specifically one of the things that we talked about with Shamar.
Ryan, how did you get comfortable with where his stress fracture is at and how he worked through it last year and where it's at now?
Yeah, so he actually he had a procedure to get that cleaned up. And the beautiful thing, it actually settles us, is he did his pro day. So you see him do a full D-line work. I think it was Joe Cullen from Kansas City did it. And Joe Cullen's pro day workouts are, like, exhausting. And he did it and did it well, so we feel comfortable where he's at. And obviously we have a lot of filters that we work through with our doctors, with medical rechecks to make sure that we're comfortable with where everything's at.
You had a sense with Burden that he's kind of got a chip on his shoulder just based on his production was so high 2 years ago, and he takes a dip. We can't read body language, but we could read tone tonight. Mm-hmm. He just kind of seemed a little disappointed that he fell to the second round. Like, do you get that sense that that's going to be the motivating factor for him when he comes in here?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, anytime you're in a situation where you feel like, you got passed by certain teams for certain reasons, I do think that chip grows on your shoulder and it ignites a different type of work ethic, a different type of mentality. The key thing is capturing that and making sure that it carries on. It's not just you know, a flash in the pan type thing. Can we consistently put that time, that effort, that work in to be at a really high level? The beautiful thing about our situation, you come in, you got to compete. Like, there's guys in this room that have played, either, you know, Rome coming off of his year last year, to DJ who's played for a long time, to Duvernay, to all of them. Like, you got to bring it if you want time on the field. And I think if I can't emphasize anything else, I'll go back to Ben's deal about being comfortable being uncomfortable. Like, there's some guys that are going to have to grind a little bit harder than probably they ever have before. So I think it's going to push everyone to be really good.
All right, thanks to just how disciplined you all were in terms of just leaning on the flexibility that you created, allowing the board to follow you. Most of the time we talk to these guys, you guys have picked so far. Like, yeah, I haven't really talked to the Bears that much, whereas sometimes in the past we, like, kind of had a feeling, or you guys, you know, spoke about having a feeling on those guys and targeting certain guys. Just how strictly disciplined were you guys about just, hey, we created some flexibility. No matter if a guy plays a position that we have some other guys at the board, we're going to go.
Yeah, we've been really disciplined. And that's a conversation that we had going into this. We were going to just continue to bring really good football players in here. And when you look at the roster, like, you feel good about really all 22 guys starting and playing in a pro football game. So when you're taking these guys, you know that it's going to increase the level of competition. You know that you're adding depth. You know that you're just throwing more talent. And everything usually settles out the way it's supposed to when you continue to do that. That's what I think really good rosters do.
Is there any target at edge?
At edge?
Any intentionality of adding the edge?
Yeah, so again, I'll go back to the discipline part. We're going to look at the board and see where it's at. We did that before I came down here. We believe there's good players in a lot of different buckets. It's just kind of how it falls. We have certain lines and parameters and kind of guardrails where, all right, if we get past this guardrail or this line, maybe we need to see if we can trade back to accumulate more to have more ammo to spread it out a little bit wider. If there's someone we really like, then we'll pick the player.
The last piece of the Bryce Young trade happened at number 39. How do you feel like you used all of the draft capital that you were able to get from that deal?
Yeah, I think pretty good. Yeah, I think it's worked out for us.
It's a good problem to have, but how do you manage all the mouths you have to feed on offense now with all these different skills guys that are going to want some run in the offense?
Yeah, you know, that's something Ben and I have talked about. I know that's something he can handle, and he's going to have conversations with the guys about, just in terms of being selfless and doing what's best for the team. You know, we got to win football games, and I know that the more talent you have on the team, the better your opportunity is to win games. And we haven't won a lot of games here, so yeah, things might be a little bit different. You may not be the only person, but at the end of the day, the goal is for us to win. In the contracts, all of that stuff, that takes care of itself when you win. And actually, that's my biggest fear is winning here more than it is anything else, because that's when it gets really hard. And I've lived that in Kansas City before I came here, and I've seen that same conversation. There's one ball, and someone's going to be hot one week, another person's going to be hot the next, and we got to support that person. If that means you're blocking, whatever that means, you got to do your part to your highest level so that we can win football games.
There's Bears GM Ryan Poles talking about day two of the draft as they come away with three picks in the second round. Luther Burden III, the wide receiver out of Missouri, at number 39. At 56, Ozzie Trapillo, the Boston College offensive tackle. And then Shamar Turner, Texas A&M defensive tackle, at 62 out of, as I said, Texas A&M. Talking about Burden, Poles said that it was clear he was the most talented player on the board, said his run after the catch is elite and was the best in the draft class at his position. Says the competition in that wide receiver room should raise his level of play. And the same can be said for all three guys that were drafted today, really. Trapillo is going to have to come in and compete for a spot. Shamar Turner comes in and goes into the rotation with the veteran defensive tackles that they have. So competition is what Ryan Poles seems to be going after. And with these picks that he's made, and you heard him look ahead to tomorrow, saying there are good players in a lot of different buckets that they're looking at as the fourth round gets underway tomorrow. This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids. We'll hit a quick break, and on the other side, we'll go back out to Hallis Hall, check in with our very own Chris Emma covering the draft for us. That's all coming up right after this. It's night two of Score's draft coverage right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
We're back with more draft night coverage on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Here's Rami Makhlouf.
And with you until midnight, I'm right back here tomorrow at noon along with Aunt Heron. That'll follow the Mully and Haw draft special along with Olin Krutz from 9 a.m. to noon as they recap the first 2 days of the NFL draft. Look ahead to day three, round four, and beyond. And Aunt and I will be on as round four gets underway at noon tomorrow. So check back in on The Score for more draft coverage. And really, the centerpiece of all that coverage is the man we have down at Hallis Hall covering the draft, talking to all the players involved, Ryan Poles, all the draft picks. It's my pleasure to welcome in Chris Emma. Chris, how are you this evening, my man?
Rami, what's up, buddy?
Surprised they went with Luther Burden with that first pick in the second round. I don't think a lot of people had wide receiver marked as a top need for the Bears.
I mean, look, it raises eyebrows for sure, but you think about it. Like, the draft is about taking the best player available.
Yeah.
Free agencies for fitting positional needs. That's a clear-cut example of Luther Burden III being the best guy available on the board. And he jumped out to everybody in that room to the point where they could not pass up on him. They didn't have any desire to trade down to that point from 39. They were perfectly comfortable. And look, there's a lot of mouths to feed now. They've got an offense that's really well situated. And you got a head coach in Ben Johnson who's going to be really excited to get all these guys acclimated within his scheme. But this offense now, adding Colson Loveland as well, as the Ozzie Trapillo, this is an offense that is deeper, better, more versatile. And the bottom of this roster gets deeper as well. So it was a very good haul in these first 2 days of the draft for the Bears. On to day three now tomorrow, but you feel really good about what they've accomplished so far.
When we talked yesterday after the Colston Loveland pick, I said I'm okay with it because it feels like a Ben Johnson pick, and I'm going to put some faith in the guy who I wanted them to hire as head coach. He was best player available, and obviously that was a major factor. But Luther Burden III also kind of says Ben Johnson pick to me, given how much he used the slot with Amon-Ra St. Brown in Detroit. This offense kind of needed a slot receiver in Ben Johnson's scheme, did it not?
Yeah, but talking with Breck Ackley, the Bears director of college scouting, I mean, he said this is a guy who can play inside and outside. They said that Burden's usage in the slot of Missouri was more so the scheme that the Tigers ran as opposed to a priority. And they see him as somebody who can play all over the field. He's somebody who can play inside and outside. He's got the skill set to do both. And talking about, you know, the physicality it takes to play in the slot and to get open and be a clean route runner on the outside and be able to separate from these top defenders and some of these top corners. And they feel Luther Burden can be an impact impact player on both sides. It just adds another element. You know, they feel this really deepens and strengthens the scheme that Ben Johnson has. And adding that to the mix of Colson Loveland joining forces with Cole Kmet, like, you're talking about different personnel packages, the ability to create different mismatches now. Ben Johnson, we're going to hear from him tomorrow after they complete their draft. He's going to be smiling ear to ear, a very happy guy knowing that his offense is really taking shape.
He didn't sound thrilled in his press conference with you guys, conference call, whatever you want to call it. I don't put a lot of stock into that, Chris. I already have people in the text line going, man, that guy doesn't sound too happy to be a Bear. I think he was disappointed that he wasn't a first-round pick, and maybe he's just a low-key guy. His demeanor didn't bother me at all in that introduction to you guys in the Chicago media. Did you take anything from that at all?
Robbie, that had nothing to do with where he got drafted and nothing to do with Chicago or the Bears. This is a guy after night one when he did not get picked who ran out to the field in Missouri and ran routes with his girlfriend. His girlfriend was running the jugs machine, and he was catching passes from her. This was after midnight last night. It's 11:30 right now. We're talking about after midnight last night when it's late. He could go to bed, say, whatever, I'm going to get drafted tomorrow. He was ticked off. He was really ticked off about the fact that he was not drafted in the first round. And he's going to carry that chip on his shoulder. And that was clear to us during that call. It was clear to Ryan Poles, asking him afterwards, what did he come off as, Luther Burton? He said, this is a guy who's going to really carry that with him. It was clear to Ryan Poles, obviously, with his call, when he did select him, number 39 overall, this is a guy who's highly motivated, who fits their scheme, and obviously fits the kind of makeup they're looking for. So never read too much into these press conferences or the demeanor there, but it's clear why Luther Burden was carrying that chip on his shoulder.
Talking with Chris Emma, Bears reporter, our point man at Hallis Hall on our 3 days of draft coverage. Obviously, after the Luther Burden deal, they make the trade with Buffalo. They add another second-round pick, giving them three in total, and move out of the third round, but pick up a fourth-round pick, which they didn't have before. What did that trade say to you about what the Bears are trying to accomplish here on day two and day three of the draft?
You know, there was a run on tackles late last night at the end of the first round. I think that kind of influenced the Bears' decision. They were sitting there at 39. Luther Burden, as I said, was clear-cut at the top of their board, and they were very excited to take him. They realized after that point that there was nobody who was really jumping out to that level of pick 41, and you got a team calling you the Bills who's eager to get up there. That's a great trade for the Bears. You get three for second-round picks. You maximize your value in that spot, and you still get your tackle you want hit later on in the second round. So I think they were very comfortable making that move, and it obviously paid off pretty well for them.
That's a big boy in Ozzie Trapillo that they got, the offensive tackle out of Boston College. We played a clip of Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, earlier on the show. He compared him to Big John Studd, the 1980s WWF wrestler. And B, he said he's a day one starter. Do you think that's how the Bears are looking at it, or brought in as a guy to sort of provide some depth and maybe a swing tackle backing up both Darnell Wright and Braxton Jones?
I mean, you're picking guys on night two of the draft to be starters. It's starters rounds two and three, and that's the intent. It's a matter of how do they want to shape the sound now. There's conversation and consideration for Darnell Wright, move over from right tackle to left tackle. I think that's very much in play. Zapillo is a guy who played, Trapillo, excuse me, I did it again, is a guy who played right tackle at Boston College. I think the idea is he's going to compete, and I think they would love to see him win that spot because this is somebody who's brought in now by this regime. And somebody that they truly prioritize and see ready to take on that kind of role. So I think they're going to be open-minded to it. You're going to see Braxton Jones, obviously, once he's full go come July, to be certainly fighting to hold down the fort at his spot at left tackle or maybe even slide over to right tackle. Crown Amagaji is a guy nobody wants to write off. I know he had a tough up-and-down rookie season. That certainly should not define him. He's going to have a full offseason now in which he's healthy, comfortable, and now adjusting to the NFL, and he's got new coaching to help guide him along. So he's going to be part of this conversation as well. But Ozzie Trapillo is a guy that they brought in because they believe he can be a starter on day one, as you mentioned, and I think they'd love to see that come to fruition.
I mentioned Luther Burden's demeanor, maybe not too excited about how the draft went for him. Trapillo seemed very like level-headed and straightforward. Dude, I really liked Shamar Turner and what he had to say to you guys. He went from talking about killing people and taking their lunch money to being in tears talking about what getting drafted into the NFL might do for his family. Like, just a full range of emotions, man. I really, really like that guy.
It's so cool. I always enjoy the emotion on those calls. And yeah, you mentioned we got a range of emotions tonight, as you mentioned, from all three of those guys. But it always pulls at the heartstrings when you get a guy like Shamar Turner, who's just so genuinely moved and excited. Look, these guys are experiencing a moment of a lifetime, something they've worked their entire football lives for, going from, you know, youth leagues to high school to college ball. You get to witness them. In our case, we talked to them, 15-ish minutes after they're selected, like, really genuinely in the raw moment of being chosen into the NFL. It's so cool to be a part of that, to experience that, to hear their words and excitement, because you know how genuine it is. And obviously, in a case like Luther Burden, like, don't look at this guy as grumpy. He's ticked off. He should be. That's his emotion. That's his right to feel that.
Right.
But then you get a guy like Shamar Turner, the other end of the spectrum, who's just so overjoyed. And it really is cool. It doesn't define them. It's just, it's one night, no matter how you're feeling about it. But it really kind of pulls back the curtain of what these guys are feeling in these big moments.
That emotion, though, is something that the Bears are going to have to try and rein in, though, right? He had some personal foul problems during his college playing career.
Yeah, there's a clip, if you want to go back on it, him going after an Ole Miss rifle and took a shot at him in the groin region.
Yeah.
And yeah. That was a flag, of course. You're not allowed to do that.
No,
and there's
not.
A lot of things
no,
he's
not.
Tried to get away with. This is a guy who plays with intensity, with violence. As you say, he wants to kill you and take your lunch money. You love that. You love that personality. Ryan Poles touched on it, said, like, this, you don't want to coach that out of him, but you want to streamline it a bit. You want to fine-tune it to keep a guy from going over the line, and understanding you can play with an edge and to the echo of the whistle, but there's an extent and degree to it where you're hurting your team.
What do you think we're looking at tomorrow with one pick in the fourth round, one pick in the fifth round, and then they'll sit out the sixth and they have a pick in the seventh? I know a lot of people hoping they address running back with that seventh pick in the fourth round, Chris. What do you think are the chances of that?
Yeah, I think running back is a strong possibility for that pick early in the fourth. Ryan Poles came down later than most general managers have around the league. We were kind of keeping track of it on the old ex-Twitter machine and seeing who was speaking. And Ryan Poles said they were going through different draft scenarios because they got the early pick in the fourth round. They got their preparation done. They're ready to roll with this. I'm curious to see how the board falls. And clearly, they've been trusting the board the entire way. But I'd like to think that somebody like Cam Scadaboo, whoever it might be, is up there toward the top of that list. And when you talk about taking best player available but also filling a positional need, like, that'd be an ideal scenario. So you're sitting there with a high pick, somebody who you still have high grades on, and a good chance to get a quality player in that spot. And then after that, you kind of figure it out. You wait and see, because you're going to be waiting around quite a bit tomorrow. Ryan Poles has done a cool thing as a guy who rose up like all these GMs do, is scouts coming up, but where he really puts it on the onus of his scouts and his coaches to, you know, pound the table for different guys. They go through these meetings tomorrow morning before the picks start up and say, who do you want and why? Why is this guy somebody you believe in? Can we get a consensus on certain players? And they'll put stars next to their name on the board. There's going to be a number of those guys that you'll see presented. They got the two picks after the fourth round. Maybe they trade back. Maybe they get a few more. Maybe they move up as they did last year. They had that conviction on Austin Booker in the fifth round, and they move back up to get him. So there's a bunch of different scenarios in play.
That's Chris Emma out there at Hallis Hall, our Bears reporter and point man for our 3 days of draft coverage. Chris, great, great job out there, man. I'm sure we'll talk tomorrow, as I'll be back here in studio with Ant Heron, and looking forward to it. And check out all Chris's work at 670thescore.com. Thanks a lot, man. We'll talk again tomorrow.
You got my number. We'll talk then.
There's Chris Emma again, 670thescore.com. That guy does such a good job covering the Bears for us here at The Score, along with our very own Mark Grody. We got to hit a quick break. On the other side, one more segment. We'll look ahead to some day two possibilities. We'll hear the moment that Luther Burden III's dreams came true. We're talking to Bears wide receivers coach Antoine Randall. That's all still to come as we wrap up night two of The Score's draft coverage right after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
The run here, Cook throws the deep ball down there. Caught, Burden, touchdown!
We're back with more Draft Night coverage on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Here's Rami Makhlouf.
Hoping we hear a lot of that when he puts on a Bears uniform. Burden touchdown, the first pick that the Bears took in the second round. First of three second round picks that they had after a trade with the Bills. Luther Burden III, wide receiver out of Missouri. That was followed by Ozzie Trapillo, Boston College offensive tackle, and Shamar Turner, the Texas A&M defensive tackle. Wanted to bring you just a couple minutes of Luther Burden III here before we look ahead to day three, and wrap up day two of the NFL draft. This does mark... have not mentioned this yet today. This does mark the end of the Bryce Young trade between the Bears and the Panthers. So here's the haul. The Panthers get Bryce Young with that number one pick they traded for from the Bears. The Bears got Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, Darnell Wright, Luther Burden, Tyreek Stevenson, and Torrey Taylor, all for Bryce Young. That's six players who I would think are going to contribute to this football team in varying degrees in 2025 and beyond. I'll give Ryan Poles credit for that one. I'm not the biggest Ryan Poles guy. I'm going to give him some credit for that one. Let's hear from the Bears' second-round pick, the first of three second-round picks, Luther Burden III, earlier tonight meeting the Chicago media.
We saw your Instagram post and your tweets. What were your thoughts after going undrafted last night? How are you feeling after having that wait into tonight?
I mean, I was unaware, I guess, but I'm super excited to be a part of the Chicago Bears.
Hey, Luther, welcome to Chicago. First question is, what did you do last night? Did you go do a workout over there in the facility?
Yeah, I went to the facility to work out.
What was your mindset in that moment?
Pretty much, I'm going to get some work where everybody celebrating, and I'm going to do the same thing tonight.
When you look at the two seasons, 23 and 24, how do you account for the dip in production this last season versus obviously what was a really standout year the year before?
I would just say the opportunities given. There was a lot more opportunities, the year before, my sophomore year. And I just said the opportunities I was given.
Hey, Luther, congratulations. How much do you know about Caleb Williams, and has he reached out to you at all?
I haven't checked my phone, really, but I know a lot about him. Me and him were supposed to be teammates before, so the world works in mysterious ways. So I'm excited to finally unite with him and get to work.
Pat Finley?
How were you guys supposed to be teammates?
At Oklahoma.
What did you know about him back then? And have you kept an eye on him in the years since?
Yeah, I definitely, not keep in touch, but, I definitely follow him. We follow each other, on social media and stuff. And, I watch a lot of his, games because, he's, his number one pick. And, he's been nice since. I've known him, so I'm definitely a big fan of him, and excited to get to work with him.
Lou, you spent 3 years in high school at Ritter Prep, and then you transferred to East Saint. What was that transition like, and what was the reason for the move?
Transition was amazing. Being a part of East Side, was great, and it was a great opportunity. To showcase my skills against, more better competition. And the reason I went because so I go to school early, so I can go to college early.
So there is the Bears' first pick in the third round, first of three picks, Luther Burden III. And didn't sound overjoyed about being drafted to the Bears or to the NFL. And people noticed that. I've gotten a couple texts tonight. Mark Grody, right after they played it on their draft show, him and Ant Heron, said he didn't sound too happy. Well, if you need happy, energized, excited Luther Burden, I got something for you. This is the moment that he hears from the Chicago Bears, including wide receivers coach Antoine Randall.
What's in the past is the past. It's time to come be a Chicago Bear. I'm excited.
Yes, sir. I'm ready.
Okay.
Yeah, I got ready. The best.
Okay, sir. Here's our, you know, Coach Randall L. Here he is right here.
Yes, sir.
Yes, you sir. Yes, sir. I'm ready. I've been ready.
That's right. We're going to the top of the mountain, baby. And you going with us. Let's do it.
Yes, sir. I'm right there.
How you feeling?
I'm excited, man. Dreams come true, man. For sure.
That's right. We're going to get it done. Just like we talked about.
A little more emotion. I think he's just a low-key guy. I think he's just a soft-spoken, low-key guy. But you heard it there. You heard a little excited. Hard not to be excited when Antoine Randall L is talking to you. Like, he just has that infectious energy to him. But you heard it there. He's happy. He's excited. He's ready to get to work and go to the mountaintop. Don't put too much stock in 5 minutes of a guy talking on the phone with the entirety of the Chicago Bears media press corps and a day after, you know, he was disappointed in how the draft went. He thought he was going on day one, round one, and it didn't go that way, and he was disappointed in that, but happy to be a Bear, obviously, and ready to get to work and with a chip on his shoulder to go out and prove those. Let me do some quick math right now, real quick. The Bears picked at 30, the 38 teams that passed up on him to make them regret that. So maybe not a bad thing. Maybe not a bad thing that he's not overjoyed and over the moon with how the draft went for him, and he comes into Bears camp when that may be with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder and something to prove to those 38 teams. Just quickly looking ahead to tomorrow, and we have you covered tomorrow, the Mullion Haw Draft Special Show from 9 a.m. to noon with Olin Kreutz, and then I'll be right back here with Ant Heron from noon until 2:30, taking you right up to Cubs baseball. I think I said earlier day three of the draft starts at noon. It's noon Eastern, so 11 o'clock our time. So we will have the picks in the 11 or 12 o'clock hour when the Bears get on the board. Two guys I have my eyes on, and we've talked a lot about these guys, both these guys tonight, as I think a lot of Bears fans want them to address the running back position. I'm looking at Mel Kiper's best available big board right now. And he has Cam Scadabo, the running back from Arizona State, has him as the fifth best player available, sixth best running back available to start the draft. And then the seventh best available, and this is a little different. I think this is actually flip-flop from how Dane Brugler had these guys stacked, but Dylan Sampson, the running back out of Tennessee. If they can get one of those two guys with that fourth round pick tomorrow, I'll be real, real happy with this draft, man, that you address that need. Both those guys really come with some special skills and did some real good things in college. I've brought up this point a few times tonight. I know a lot of Bears fans, myself included to a degree, disappointed that they haven't addressed the running back position yet. Maybe that they didn't go and get an Ashton Jeanty. With the running back class this deep, if you're getting guys with third and fourth round grades, those are guys that are probably second and third round grades in a normal NFL draft class and probably better than what you'd get this deep in the draft. And I think if it's one of those two guys, a guy who can come in and compliment and share the load, share the carries with DeAndre Swift, which is, that's good with me. I'd rather somebody just put DeAndre Swift on the sideline and be your feature back, but you don't always get what you want. If you can get somebody who can come in and be productive and share that load and share the carries with him and be a compliment and be productive and maybe make DeAndre Swift a little more productive in the process, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Again, I'll be talking about it with you tomorrow at noon with Ant Heron following Mully Haw and Olin Kreutz. My thanks to Chris Emma out there at Hallis Hall. We'll be talking with him again tomorrow. Also, Chris Castellani, who joined me to talk about the Bears' first-round pick, Colston Loveland, earlier in the show. Thanks to Sean Sears, who's been down the hall just taking in all this audio and cutting it up for us all night long and last night, just crushing it over there. Tyler Buterbaugh on the other side of the glass as well. Great job tonight, my man. I'll be back, like I said, at noon tomorrow. Until then, Rami Makhlouf saying thanks for listening to all the draft coverage right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks, everybody. The Bears.